hard changing your life. It was hard when just over 3 years ago, in the Penobscot building in Detroit, Michigan, where I was operating my business, and I fell on some hard times, and I was sleeping in my office. It was hard coming into the lobby, and the security said, "Excuse me, Mr. Brown, can we see you for a moment?" And I said, "Yes," and I walked up to the counter, and he gave me an envelope. And he said, "Would you mind reading it here?" And I opened the envelope, and the envelope was from management that said, "This is an office tower. It's not a hotel. Please do not sleep in your office." And I said, "Excuse me, sir." I said, "I just work long hours in creating my business. I'm an entrepreneur. And right now things are bad for me, but they're not going to be this way always. And I just asked for the opportunity to continue to operate like I'm doing. I'm not trying to make this my home." And it was hard coming through the lobby. And sometimes they would laugh. "There's a guy talking about becoming successful. And look at him. He's bathing in the bathroom upstairs on the 21st floor. He sleeps on the floor. Him and two other dreamers up there. Look at him." It was hard, ladies and gentlemen, coming to speak to people. And I was facing financial difficulties in my own life. I was behind on my bills and my dreams. And I'm saying to them, "You can live your dream." It was hard, ladies and gentlemen. It was very difficult to pick myself up each day believing that I could do it. There were times that I doubted myself. I said, "God, why is this happening to me? I'm just trying to take care of my children and my mother. I'm not trying to steal or rob from anybody. Why did this have to happen to me?" It was very hard. And here's what I want to say to you. For those of you that have experienced some hardships, don't give up on your dream. No one could have convinced me by holding on, by continuing to push forward, by continuing to run toward my dream, that one day I would have my own talk show. It's a long shot, ladies and gentlemen, from Liberty City, an abandoned building on a floor, never knowing my mother or father. It's a long shot being here with you today in this dome in Atlanta. It's a long shot. No college training, labeled educable, mentally retarded, but I kept running toward my dream.
I want you to think about your financial freedom number, and whatever that is, I want you to multiply that 100 times. 100 times. The easiest thing I've ever done was to earn $1 million. But the most difficult thing that I've ever done was to believe that I could do it. Given my circumstances, born in poverty, given my environment, given the odds I had to overcome. Next thing is, I want you to think about your social contribution. Horace Mann said we should be ashamed to die until we've made some major contribution to humankind. So now, at this stage of my life, at 75, I'm now trained and develop speakers and teach them how to create them out of their story and their message, a global reputation, how to become known nationally, and how to orchestrate and create an experience with an audience individually and collectively. And as you think about those areas, I'm reminded when I had 238 radiation seed implants and my PSA, which stands for prostate-specific antigen, increased to over 2,400, 1 to 4 is normal. And I was reading these words by Dr. Howard Thurman, who was a mentor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Albert Schweitzer and Mahatma Gandhi. He wrote, "Deep is the hunger, the voice of the genuine, the centering moment." And one night when I was reading his words for comfort, I couldn't sleep when I ran across something. He said, "The ideal situation for a man, a woman to die is to have family members praying with them as they cross over." He said, "But imagine, if you will, being on your deathbed And standing around your bed, the ghosts of the dreams, the ideas, the abilities, the gifts given to you by life, but you, for whatever reason, you never pursued those dreams. You never used those gifts. You never used those talents and those abilities. You never wrote that book. We never heard from your leadership. And there they are standing around your bed, looking at you with large, angry eyes, saying, "We came to you, and only you could have given us life, and now we must die with you forever." And the question becomes, if you died today, what dreams, what ideas, what abilities, what gifts, what talents would die with you? Maybe that's why one woman said, "Oh, God, to reach the point of death, only to realize that you've never lived." Maybe that's why Henry David Thoreau said, "Oh, God, to reach the point of death, to realize that you've never used all your potential, all of the things that had been instilled in you." Let us say together, live full. Die empty.
Die empty.
Everybody together, live full.
Live full.
Die empty.
Die empty.
The other thing is that as you think about your goals and dreams, not only is it possible, not only must you decide that it's necessary, that it's a non-negotiable, let us say together, it's me.
It's me.
George Bernard Shaw said, "The people that make it in this life, they look around for the circumstances that they want, and if they couldn't find it, they create it." That it's you. It's me. You have the ability to do more than you could ever begin to imagine. But when we live in a world where we're told more about our limitations rather than our potential, when we look at our environment and the people and the conversations that we're exposed to early on, we begin to form a limited vision of what's possible for us. And so as you think about your goals and dreams, here's what I can share with you because of what I've gone through, and you know this to be true. Changing your life, let us say together, is hard. Yeah, I never forget, I didn't do what I'm doing now for 14 years because I never worked for a major corporation. I didn't think I can compete with people with PhDs and MBAs and college education that I don't have. And I remember talking to my mentor, Mike Williams, and you can get this book on Amazon, write this down, The Road to Your Best Stuff. The Road, I wrote the foreword for it. It's a powerful book. He saw this Les Brown before I saw him. It's very important for you to have someone in your life who can take you to a place in yourself that you can't go by yourself. And Mike said, "Brownie, do you know why you go see Bob Proctor and Zig Ziglar and Tony Robbins and all those guys?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Because I like to help people." How many of you like to help people? Raise your hands, please. He said, "It's not just that." He said, "That's you." I said, "Me?" I said, "Mike, I don't have a college education. I never worked for a major corporation." He said, "Brownie, all of us are born the same way, dumb, naked, and speechless. You could learn." And that day when he spoke with me, and this book is called The Road to Your Best Stuff, that day when he talked to me, he created a shift in my thinking because I was living from my past. You know, the book of life said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, we press toward the mark of the higher calling. But I remember 3 o'clock in the morning, I saw this movie called Magnolia, starring Tom Cruise, and there was a line that woke me up. It was, "We might be through with our past, but our past is not through with us." How many of you know that to be true? And so, Mike, he helped me to begin to look beyond my mental conditioning and my circumstances. He taught me strategies and how to orchestrate an experience with an audience. As you think about yourself and what it is that you want to do, make a commitment To live full and to die empty. Don't do what I did. I used to go and see Bob Proctor and all of these other speakers, and my mind said, you can't do that. My heart said, you can. And they were going back and forth. And for 14 years, my mind won out because we've been conditioned to be practical and logical and realistic. My mind said, hey, come on, Les. You can't do that. You're born in an abandoned building on the floor. You can't do that. You were a foster kid. You were adopted. You don't know even who your parents are. You can't do that. You were labeled educable, mentally retarded. You failed twice in school. You can't do that. How many of you have ever thought about something you wanted to do and you talk yourself out of it? Raise your hands, please. Yes, it's an African proverb that says, if there's no enemy within, the enemy outside can do us no harm. Shakespeare said, for dear Brutus, it's not in our stars, but in ourselves that you are underlings. And this process that you're going through right now, this training that you're going through right now, what it will do is take you to a place within yourself that you cannot go by yourself because of the quality people around your table. We grow from people, experiences, and events. Give yourselves a round of applause.